I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23, and verse 1 will be our text, as well as Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We're actually going to be looking at several things, several passages of Scripture. As you can see from the additional Scripture listed for you there in your bulletin, you'll see all the Scripture passages that we're going to look to in the course of this message. So it's there for you in case you didn't hear me correctly, and you can just look ahead. Psalm 23 is perhaps the best known passage of Scripture, even to those who are unsaved, if they have spent any time in church at all. Like me, you may have memorized it in the King James Version. Let me read it for you again in the New American Standard Bible Version, starting with the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The second part of this verse in the French translation reads this way, Je ne manquerai de rien. And the Spanish translation reads this way, Nada me faltará. Both mean literally, I will lack nothing. Verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures, He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As you remember from my mentioning it many times in verse 6, the word translated here, loving kindness, is the Hebrew word chesed, which really has a much broader meaning, more encompassing meaning than just any one word we could translate it in English. The King James Version translates it mercy. Loving kindness, mercy, goodness, compassion, all these things are wrapped up in this Hebrew word chesed. But what a wonderful promise there. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The first verse of Psalm 23 really says it all. The remaining verses simply support that truth. The Lord, as you can see in your Bibles, it's in all capital letters, LORD, all capitalized, meaning they are translating the Hebrew word Yahweh or Jehovah. The Lord or Yahweh is my shepherd. Notice what person of God this refers to. In fact, if you have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 2, remember, you can look at that list right there in your bulletin and see what next verses we're going to refer to. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, we read this, and it's quoting from the Old Testament, And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will, what's the next word? Shepherd my people Israel. Matthew 26, verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. Again, John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 11. I am, the Lord Jesus is speaking here, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. In verse 16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Then would you turn to Hebrews 13, verse 20? Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus, our Lord. And then finally, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You see, the Lord Jesus is our shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And so Yahweh, or Lord in all capital letters in the Old Testament, is speaking of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus is our shepherd. Because he is my shepherd, I won't have need of anything, because he will supply all that I need. He will see to it that all my needs are met. And as I've said before, remember, the word is needs, not wants, okay? Everything I want, wow, if the Lord would supply that, I'd probably overflowing my house, because the things that our flesh wants, unfortunately, are not everything we need. And so what a blessing that God supplies all that we truly need. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, we are told, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Notice God declares that all our needs are supplied in Christ Jesus. To go a step further, I won't have need of anything because he is all that I need. Can I say that again? I won't have need of anything because he, the Lord Jesus, is all that I need. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, we read this, for in him, speaking of Jesus, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. In other words, in Jesus, all the fullness of God is in him in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. The very fact, if you have trusted Christ as Savior, you have trusted him for salvation, and he has brought you into himself. Therefore, you are complete. There's nothing more that you need. You are complete in him. There's a song that goes, complete in him. And I can't remember if that's the name of the title of the song, but I remember the words and that phrase. And what a blessing that if you've trusted Christ as Savior, you are complete in him. That means if you're single and you don't have a spouse, listen, you are complete in him. Does that mean you never need to get married? Well, the Lord may have that in store for you. And then you are complete with your wife in him, or with your husband in him. Listen, until you come to truly believe and depend on these two truths, you will never be satisfied that the Lord is your shepherd and that he supplied all that you need. The world is constantly searching, but searching in vain for something that will satisfy. What do I mean by the world? The term used in the Bible when referring to people indicates those who are not saved. For God so loved, what's next? The world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So this is referring to unsaved people. This term used in the Bible when referring to people indicates those who are not saved, those who have never been born again, who have not trusted Christ alone to save them from their sins and its penalty. Let me pause right here to make sure everyone listening to this message understands some crucial truths that God wants you to know. In fact, he wrote them down in the Bible for you to read and understand and act on. God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to earth from heaven because every person has a problem called sin. We're told in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I remember in vacation Bible time that we have every summer, now in June, that I explained this verse, and I asked the children that were sitting there in the front rows or near the front rows of the pews there, I said, so all have sinned. Does that mean everyone but the pastor? And they said, they had to think. I said, no, it means including the pastor. Everyone has sinned. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. As we were just reminded at Christmas, God became man in order to be able to die on the cross and pay the penalty for sin in our place, so that anyone who repents of their sins and asks Christ to save them will be saved from sin and hell for eternity. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11, we read this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him, that is, trusts in him, places their faith in him, will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, Jew and non-Jew. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Agree with God about the problem of sin, the penalty for sin, and the payment for sin, and respond by asking Christ to save you. If you do that, God promises to save you. What a blessing. What a glorious truth. Having said that, let me repeat what I said earlier. Unsaved individuals are searching in vain for something that will satisfy. They are pursuing pleasure, financial security, fame, whatever it is that they think will satisfy the hunger, the craving, the emptiness within. But though they may experience temporary satisfaction, it never lasts, and it leaves them with a greater hunger, a greater emptiness. Oh, listen, if you have not yet put your faith and trust in Christ alone to save you from sin and hell, please understand that only the Lord Jesus Christ can truly satisfy. God created you to be complete in him. And until you repent of your sins and trust him alone to save you, you can never be complete. As someone once put it, we are created with a God-shaped hole in our being, and only God can fill that hole. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, which was written in 1647 by English and Scottish theologians, states, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Only Christ can satisfy. What is tragic is that even true Christians, genuinely born-again Christians, can experience, to some extent, the emptiness that unsaved people live with. This is a true tragedy for at least a couple reasons. First of all, it is a tragedy because God wants to fill them with himself, as is their heritage as his children. But they do not experience it because of either ignorance or rebellion. We're talking about genuine Christians here. Secondly, it is a tragedy because the unsaved do not see it in the lives of these Christians, and therefore do not believe that God satisfies as nothing else they are pursuing can. And that is a terrible testimony. Why is it that some Christians do not experience the joy and utter satisfaction of the Lord Jesus completing them? As I just mentioned a minute ago, one reason is simply ignorance of this truth. Another reason is a refusal to believe this truth. These Christians just do not believe that Jesus satisfies all our longings and all our needs in himself. They continue to believe Satan's lie and the flesh's self-deception that they cannot be satisfied unless they have something this world offers. What a lie. Sadly, believers who are the most deceived are not necessarily those who have their eyes focused on forbidden things, but simply who believe that they cannot be satisfied unless they can have something, even something good. But it is something other than experiencing their satisfaction from Christ himself. How often have I heard young people or even adults sigh, "If only I were married," or heard married couples sigh, "If only we could have children," or others sigh, "If only I had more money." I hear that more often than anything else. Or, "If only I were better looking." I said that when I was a teenager. Each one revealing their failure to understand that only Christ can satisfy. Let me stop here for just a moment to clarify something. Please understand, I am not saying that God will not grant you some of the legitimate things that I just mentioned a moment ago. What I do want you to understand is that you cannot be satisfied with these things unless you are first satisfied with Christ alone. You know, God may sometimes put you in a situation when all these things, or most of them, will be taken away from you. And that is a test as to whether Christ alone is satisfying you. And if you feel that you're not satisfied, then please hear me. You need to talk to the Lord. You need to spend time in his word and understand that only he can satisfy. Seek him. Spend time with him. Seek his face. As someone once put it, if you have everything but Christ, you have nothing. If you have nothing but Christ, you have everything. Because he satisfies. Let me get personal with you here for a few moments and ask you a few questions to help you examine your own heart. Have you ever repented of your sins and trusted Christ alone to save you from sin and hell? If you have not done so yet, then this is the first thing you need to take care of right now. In a few minutes, I'll be asking everyone to close their eyes, and then I'll be extending an invitation to you to respond to God's invitation to come to him for salvation. Make up your mind right now to take care of this most important matter, no matter what it takes. I remember as a 7-year-old boy in a church in New Jersey, many years ago, 60 years ago, hearing a message about the reality of hell, that it was the wages of sin, and that everyone is a sinner. And you know, the pastor didn't say, "By the way, Steve down there, understand that you're a sinner." Nobody had to do that. The Holy Spirit already convicted me. And I agreed with the pastor there. Yes, I am a sinner. I could even see a list of sins, you know, popping out in my mind. I knew that I was a sinner. Oh, listen. If you know that you need to be saved. You know you've never asked him to save you. Please do so today. If you need some help, please talk to me. If you're a lady, would prefer to talk to a lady, my wife would be glad to talk with you. Other ladies here in the church would also be glad to talk with you. But take care of it. If you're a child and my big bulk intimidates you, oh, listen, talk to my wife. She's not intimidating. I'm not either. I'm actually a big softy. But listen, talk to somebody who can show you from the Bible how to be saved. The second question is this. If you know you are saved, you know you've trusted Christ to save you from sin and hell, then are you perfectly satisfied in Christ? Or would you honestly have to admit that there are some things that you wish you had and you know that your heart is dissatisfied because of that? Let me put the question to you another way. Are you truly content with what the Lord has given you? With what he is allowing to take place in your life? Or do you find yourself thinking, if only the Lord would change this? Depending how old you are, things change. I remember as a missionary kid, I would see others, even other missionary kids with lots of toys. The toys I had were ones I built out of wood, out of blocks of wood and bottle caps and things like that. You know, the Lord wasn't being cruel to me. He was helping me to become an inventor so that I learned to put things together and make things. And I never lost that. I love to make things out of wood, especially. But oh, listen, I remember wishing I had that model airplane that someone was flying around in the air, and wishing I had this, and wishing I had a violin so I could learn to play because I loved music so much. And the Lord said, go find your dad's accordion, prop it up on the bed, and start playing with it. Learn to play that instrument. And the Lord used that instrument for many years. For many years here, when Brenda and I first came, that was the accompaniment to church services. Bev, do you remember that? Yes, Bev remembers that. And that was it. Well, praise the Lord that the Lord brought along some pianists to help us with that. But listen, God uses everything that he brings into your life. Even the things that you're missing, God uses in a good way. Oh, listen, let me clarify something here. I am not saying you should be content with remaining at your present level of spiritual growth and understanding. You should always have a desire to press onward and upward. But you should have the joy of knowing that God's grace is sufficient and he will enable you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because you have a true heart desire to glorify him and please him in everything. To get back to the question, children, are you content with the family the Lord has placed you in? Wives, are you content with your husband? Husbands, are you content with your wife? Are you content with how the Lord made you? Are you content with your job? In this case, you may have opportunity to improve your situation. But while you are in the job you currently have, are you content to do your very best and trust the Lord to supply your needs? You see, the answer to these questions will reveal to your heart whether you are looking to Christ alone to satisfy you. In which case, you can be content with any situation because you have Christ. But if you are looking to your parents to satisfy your needs or looking to your spouse to satisfy you, or looking to your job or your possessions or income to satisfy you, then you will be sadly disappointed, because only Christ can truly satisfy. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Before I close this message in prayer, I encourage you to respond to whatever the Holy Spirit has been showing you through His Word today. These questions I just asked you, has the Lord revealed something to you about where you are looking for your satisfaction? If you're not looking to Jesus alone, then you will never be truly satisfied. You can change that right now by repenting of your wrong focus and choosing to look to Jesus alone. As Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 exhorts us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. I love the words of hymn writer Helen Lamell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. The Lord is speaking to your heart right now about your need to look to the Lord Jesus alone for true satisfaction. Instead of looking to other people or other things or other circumstances, would you respond to Him right now in your heart and tell Him that you are looking to Him alone for satisfaction and fulfillment and completion? That you are trusting Him to provide whatever you need, and that you will always look to Him as the ultimate source of all that satisfies. If you'd like me to be your witness to this decision and commitment, then would you let me know by raising your hand and keeping it up till I see it, then putting it down? Pastor, pray for me. This is what I'm doing with the Lord right now. I am asking Him, trusting Him to provide whatever I need and to be completely satisfied with Him. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone? Amen. God bless you. Amen. You're saying by your uplifted hand, Pastor, I am done with looking to people or things for my fulfillment, satisfaction. I'm looking to Jesus alone for that. Would you pray for me that I would keep this commitment from this day forward? I will certainly pray for you in this. Perhaps you're listening to this message on Zoom or later on our website, and you too are making this decision, would like me to pray for you. Just send me a text or an email so that I can know, and I will pray for you. Perhaps you're thinking right now, Pastor, actually, I'm not 100% sure that I know Christ personally. I am not 100% sure that if I were to die today or next week or even next year, that I would go straight to heaven. But I want to make sure. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Oh, listen, friend, I would be glad to help you make sure of salvation. Please talk with me after the service if you're here, or if you're on Zoom or listening later on our website, please text me or email me so that we can set up a time and I can, and a place even to meet or even just connect on Zoom. I will be glad to show you from the Bible how to be saved from sin and its penalty. I've done this before with others. Praise the Lord for the technology that connects us in that way. Don't be afraid to ask. May the Lord work in your heart. May we look to the Lord for satisfaction in Him alone. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you have done through your word this morning in our hearts. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who takes your word and applies it personally and effectively in our hearts. I pray, Father, that for those who raise their hands, that you would especially strengthen them in this decision, this commitment, this desire to be done with looking to the world, looking to other people, looking to other things or circumstances for satisfaction, but that they are committing to looking to you alone for true satisfaction, for true completion. Pray that you would strengthen them in this commitment as other things in the world come across their path and start to tempt them to look to other things and other people. Lord, I pray that they would remember their commitment to you. And Lord, may they continue in joyful dependence on you. I pray, Father, for any who are not saved or who are not sure. Lord, I pray that they would not forget, but that they would take care of it today. As your word says, today, if you will hear my voice. I pray, Father, that they would take care of it today. They would talk to someone, whether it be me or someone else they know is truly born again and can show them from the word of God how to be saved. They would take care of that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.